Russian soldiers marching as to war, with the cross of Jesus going on before. Christ the royal master leads against the foe.
Shalom Aleichem to all my pure-blooded white Christian Israelite brothers and sisters. I'm Pastor Steve. The show is Word for Word for Tuesday, October the 11th. The Feast of Tabernacles is over, and I am on my way home. The show is pre-recorded because it's going to take me a while to get back up to where I live. But we will resume our normal mode of operation here. The book of Deuteronomy, Ele Devarim, chapters 19 and 20 today. And I hope you all had a joyous feast, and you received Yahweh's blessings and had good fellowship and good food and a good time had by all. It's a joyous occasion. Let's get into chapter 19 here. One has cut off, 3772, Yahweh Eloheka, the nations that Yahweh Eloheka gives to you for their land, and you dispossess them and dwell in their cities and their houses. And chapter 19, verses 1 through 3, you can reference Joshua, book of Joshua, chapter 20, verses 1 through 9. Verse 2, three cities you shall set apart to you in the midst of your land that Yahweh Eloheka gives you to possess. Now, verse 2, you can reference Deuteronomy chapter 4, verses 41 through 43. Verse 3, you shall prepare a way and divide into three parts, that's one word, 8027, the territory of your land that gives you to inherit Yahweh Eloheka to be a place for fleeing. 5127 there for all slayers. 7523. This is set up for people that accidentally kill somebody. We've gone over this before, but he's reiterating this once more. And this is the matter of the slayer which shall flee there, that he may live. Whoever smites to death another without knowledge, in other words, accidentally, whom he has not hated in times past, as a man goes with another into the woods to hew trees, and he wields with his hand an axe to cut down the tree, and drops off the iron axe head from the wooden handle and hits his neighbor, and he dies, he shall flee to one of these cities and live. He didn't mean to kill the man. It was completely accidental. It had nothing to do with enmity. It was not premeditated murder. This is a very bad occurrence that accidentally occurred. Things do happen out in the world, and they're not always deliberate. Some things are, some things are not. But this is for somebody that accidentally causes the death of another, not through maliciousness or any of that. Verse 6, lest pursue the kinsman avenger of blood, the slayer, while hot is his heart with anger. Some of the relatives are not going to recognize that this guy didn't mean to kill their kinsman, and they're going to come after him. Well, Yahweh's setting a place up so this guy isn't killed by the Kinsmen Avengers sent by the family. They dealt with things back in those days. You kill somebody today, the court goes through all their nonsense, and even if the guy's innocent, he's going to do time. They call it manslaughter. Well, not so back in Israel. That wasn't where the way that things were done. That was an accident. That's not deliberate. So, lest the pursue the kinsman avenger of blood, the slayer, while hot in his heart with anger, and overtake him, because long is the way, and he smites his being, and it is not just that he die. For he had not hated him in times past. He was out with his buddy chopping wood. An axe head flew off and hit his buddy in the head and killed him. I mean, he didn't mean to kill the guy. He was his friend. He was cutting wood. Well, the relatives might not go along with that. They, well, you killed our relative. We don't care. We're going to get you anyway. Okay, well, that's the way of mankind. But that's not necessarily the way of Yahweh. Yahweh has perfect justice. Verse 7, upon this I command you, saying, three cities you shall set apart. Verse 8, and if enlarges Yahweh Eloheka your borders, in other words, if you get more territory, as he swore to your forefathers, and gives you all the land that he spoke of to give to your forefathers, for you shall observe all these commandments and do them, that I command this day to love Yahweh Eloheka and walk in his way all the days, you shall add three more cities beside these three. So there's enough, near enough, so somebody can run to him. Look, I didn't mean to kill your brother. Verse 10, there shall not be poured out, that's 82:10, the blood of innocents, 5355, within your land that Yahweh Eloheka gives you as an inheritance, and upon you is blood guilt. So if you let an innocent be killed, you're guilty of blood guilt. You just don't do that. Here's a different scenario, verse 11. But if it is that the man hated his neighbor and lies in wait, 693, and rises up upon him and smites his being so he dies and flees into one of these cities, then shall send the elders of his own city and take him from there and give him into the hand of the kinsman avenger. Okay, of blood, so he may die. Justice. If they know that he hated him and he planned to kill him and he laid in wait for him and he rose up and he whacked him, he's a murderer. He is not an innocent man that accidentally slayed a friend. Verse 13, no pity shall be in your eyes upon him, and you shall remove the blood guilt of the innocent from Israel, that it be well with you. In other words, you're to execute that murderer. He just didn't do that in Israel. Well, what if we did that today? Look, if there's an accidental death, that's one thing. Okay? But these guys that are robbing and killing and doing all this stuff out here, they need to be executed. They're robbing and killing people because they're evil people. And they need to be dealt with. So, enough of this warm and fuzzy, touchy-feely non-justice that we got. Oh, he's a disadvantage. No, he's a murderer. If you rob somebody and kill them while you're robbing somebody, that's murder. That should be the death penalty. But see, we don't go by Yahweh's laws, and we have all these problems because we don't go by Yahweh's laws. And we're going to get back to that here one day. It's coming. And boy, the liberals are gonna howl. Oh, these poor people. Hey, what about the poor victim and their poor family? What about them? You know, this guy's going around doing what he's doing, and he knows it's wrong. It's a willful act. So what we're talking about here with the cities of refuge is an accident. Not that the guy is deliberately gonna hit his buddy with an axe. All right, verse 14. You shall not move, 5253, the boundary, 1366, of your neighbor, which was set, 1379, before times, 7223, in your inheritance, 5159, that you shall inherit in the land that Yahweh Elohecha gives to you to possess. And you can reference for that verse Deuteronomy chapter 27, verse 17. That's stealing some of your neighbor's land. Moving boundary markers. Bad business. It's happened in this country, out in the West. They moved markers and had range wars over that. Verse 15, there shall not rise up one witness against a man for any iniquity or any sin of all sins that he sins by the mouth of two witnesses or by the mouth of three witnesses shall rise up the matter. In other words, if you just have one guy saying something about somebody, he may be lying because he has ulterior motives. And verse 15 of chapter 19, you can reference Numbers, chapter 35, verse 30, Deuteronomy, chapter 17, verse 6, the book of Matthew, chapter 18, verse 16, the book of John, chapter 8, verse 17, 2 Corinthians chapter 13 verse 1, 1 Timothy chapter 5 verse 19, and the book of Hebrews chapter 10 verse 28. You just don't put people to death at random because one guy doesn't like them. Okay? And we've had false witness problems in this country for quite some time. The court tells people to lie. If they want to get somebody, if the government wants to get somebody, they'll put lying witnesses up against him. That shows our government is ungodly right now. It's in violation of Yahweh's laws. Go on with Yahweh's law. If rise up witnesses harmful, 2555, against a man to answer, 6030, in defection, 5627, that's 2555, harmful is kamash. A witness promotes what is wrong or is violent. In other words, they're trying to get somebody, and the government's going to do the getting. Against a man to answer, 6030, in defection, 5627, that is sarah, that is defective or lying testimony. In other words, if they're going to get up there and lie on the witness stand to get somebody, and lie, that's what the government does today. Verse 17, then shall stand both the men that have controversy, 7:3-8:9 before Yahweh, before the priests and the judges, which shall be in those days. All right, we don't have them now. The priests don't inquire of Yahweh, which would reveal the truth, because Yahweh has turned his face from us temporarily, and we are in punishment. We wanted kings, and we wanted all these other things. We wanted to be like the other nations. Okay, now we're getting what the other nations have. It's going to change. Yeshua is coming back. Things will be set aright. But right now, we're under the Babylonian system. Verse 18, and shall inquire the judges well, and behold, if the witness is a false, 8:2-6:7, witness, and has answered falsely against his kinman. Verse 19, then you shall do to him that which he had planned 2:1-6:1 to do to his kinsman. So you shall remove wickedness from among you. Verse 20, and those that remain, 7:6:4, shall hear and fear, and shall not again do any more this wickedness among you. Verse 21, and shall not pity, 2:3:4:7, your eye, 5:8:6:9, life for life, eye for eye, tooth for tooth, hand for hand, foot for foot. Verse 21, you can reference Exodus 21:23-25, Leviticus 24:20, and Matthew chapter 5, verse 38. Imagine today if you had somebody get up there and lie on the witness stand trying to get somebody or do harm to somebody, and it was found out, whatever the penalty was going to be for the guy they were lying about, they would suffer that penalty. If they lied in a capital murder case, yeah, I saw him do it. And they find out that he just doesn't like this guy and he's trying to get this guy killed by the government, then he would suffer the death penalty. Boy, would that stop that in a heartbeat. But then again, see, that's Yahweh's perfect law. We are not going under Yahweh's perfect law today. We are under the Babylonian system. And they call this the criminal justice system. And that's a good name for it. Because it is criminal. It's run by criminals. Payoffs abound. The police get up on the witness stand and frame people. They falsify evidence. It's devilish. It's absolutely devilish, folks. That's what we're dealing with today. Is a devilish, satanic system. And we are the victims of it. All of this is going to burn up. Okay, that's all I can say. It's all hay and stubble. We realize the problem. Everybody talks about the problems. Oh, the Jews this and the Jews that, and the court system this and the court system that. And nobody comes up with a solution. Well, there is only one solution. And I have been telling everybody that these things are going to pass because they have to occur for the oppression to build up even from the time of Jacob's trouble, which we are in right now. We're going to have to go into full tribulation. 3.5 years of sheer hell on earth. It's going to be horrible. You think this is bad now. You see the violence snowballing out there now, and absolutely no punishment for the violent offenders, especially against the white race. It's open season on us, virtually. Okay? They can do whatever they want, and the courts just won't do anything about it. The general news media will not publicize black-on-white crime. David James does it every week, gives you instances gathered from all around. He does his research and gets his show together and does the black-on-white crime on his EFR weekly news report. If you don't listen to his show, I want to know why not. Why are you missing that information that he is doling out? And he backs it up with scripture. David's very, very knowledgeable and very dead on accurate. And is a fine news anchor. He really brings it out, and he's humorous. He makes fun of it. He'll have you rolling in the aisles with all the sarcasm and satire that he does. And meanwhile, while you're being entertained, and you will be entertained because it's an entertaining show, you're going to be given all kinds of pertinent information. You go to his website, David James' website is loaded with stuff. I mean, just loaded. You can go to Yahweh's Followers, Camp Char's website. Get all the solar calendar information. When it's right, it's on EFR. It's all linked to EFR. It's on YouTube. I mean, our stuff is all over the place. It says in the book, my people perish for lack of knowledge. Well, we're doing something about it here at Eurofolk Radio. We're putting the knowledge out. It's up to you to listen to it and learn from it and tailor your life around it, basically so you can protect yourself and your family from what's going on, because you're not going to hear these kind of news things from the Jews media. They won't put it out. They won't publicize it. If there's something going on in your town and it doesn't benefit their agenda, you're not going to know about it. But you can get the information from Eurofolk Radio on one of the shows. We're like a whole bunch of John the Baptists running around as voices crying in the wilderness. Some listened to John, some didn't. Same here. Some listen to us, some don't. We don't do these things because we're angry at you. We do these things because we care about you. We want you to survive what's coming. We really seriously want to help you. None of us are paid. All of us do this as a volunteer thing. There are no paid announcers on EFR. You don't hear a whole bunch of ads on EFR. It's not about making money. We're not Jews. We're Israelites. Caring about other Israelites and obeying the commands of Yahweh to help our brothers and sisters. We want you to do the same thing. When you get some knowledge, we want you to pass it on. If you hear something that I'm reading in Scripture that pertains to your life And all these old books of scripture, the first five books of Moshe, apply today. Current events. This is a living book, folks. It's a living book. And we could take examples from all these early books of scripture and put them to work in our lives today to get in line with Yahweh's laws. It's very, very, very important that we do these things, because we're getting short in time, because this violence that's happening right now is going to escalate, and it will escalate quickly. You're watching how it increases weekly with the riots all over the world and here in America. But these broadcasts go out all over the world. What's happening to the Boer people in South Africa? What's happening to the British people? What's happening in France? What's happening in Germany? What's happening in the Nordic countries up north with the infestation of the Muslim hordes? Their way of life and their laws are totally different than ours. Their concept of right and wrong is different than ours. They are taught that we are devils. They have taught the blacks in America that we are blue-eyed devils, white devils. You hear it all the time. They're indoctrinating these people and inciting them to violence against us, Israel. The Judeo-Christian churches hate Christian identity because it goes against their Talmudic teachings that they're teaching in their Judeo-Christian churches. And Scripture says they will kill us all the day long and think they do God a service. Our own white brethren that don't know there are white brethren will be our worst enemies. They will come against us because they are under control of the Jewish-controlled churches. And they're masquerading as Christianity, but they are not Christianity. They are Talmudism. Talmudianity. So, I just want people to be prepared. Get a go bag ready and get food and water and medical supplies and extra clothing and good boots and fire starting material. Learn how to start fires without flipping on your stove. Get a non-aluminum cookware. Aluminum is toxic, folks. And the byproduct of aluminum processing is fluoride, and it is highly toxic. And they can't get rid of it any other way, so they're dumping it in our water systems and telling us it's good for our teeth. Oh, please. Be aware. Protect your families. And if you want to follow anything I say, follow my motto. It's on my Skype thing, and it's two words. Yahweh first. Everything else is after that. There's nothing more important in your life than your relationship with Yahweh. Period. No ifs, no ands, no buts, no exceptions. No shades of gray. If you are obedient and you love Yahweh and you come close to Him, He will come closer to you and He will bless you. He's gathering His remnant right now. And if you are a white descendant of the Western European people, you're an Israelite, because that's where Israel went. We went into Europe through the Caucasus Mountains and were called Caucasians. And it is time for us to help one another to be prepared to make it through the tribulation. No covenant was given to anyone else except Israel in the scripture. It is of, by, for, about, to Israel. It has nothing to do with the Jews except their mentions as children of the adversary. They're Edomites, they're Canaanites, they're Khazars. They are a mixed breed soup. A lot of them have bred with white people because the white people were ignorant, and now they're masquerading as white people in society. And they're causing all this blame and hatred to come down on our head because of their behavior. Well, these guys are white guys. No, they're Jews. They are a mixed bloodline. They are Mamzers. And they can't even come in the congregation of Yahweh. They don't worship Yahweh. They don't use his name. They hate Yeshua Messiah. They are of their father, the devil, and their father's works they do. Let's get into chapter 20 here. It's not a great big long chapter. Verse 1, when you go forth to battle against your hated enemies and see horses and chariots, a people more numerous than you, do not fear them, because Yahweh Eloheka is with you that brought you up from the land of Mitzrayim. And it's going to be that way during the tribulation too, folks. Because if we are his remnant, and in truth, the ones that are willing to obey and love him, he's going to help us. The other ones that have not chosen him, he's going to let go. The grace period will be over then. Verse 2, and it shall be, when you come near to the battle, you shall approach the priest and speak to the people, and shall say to them, hear, Israel, you approach this day to battle against your hated enemies. Do not be fearful in your hearts. Do not fear them, and do not flee, and do not be terrified of their presence. For Yahweh Elohim walks with you to fight for you against your hated enemies, to deliver you, and shall speak the officers to the people, saying, what man is there that has built a new house and has not dedicated it? 2956. That's a formal opening of a new house. Let him go to return to his house, lest he die in battle and another man dedicates it. And what man has planted a vineyard and has not eaten of it? Let him go and return to his house, lest he die in battle and another man eats of it. And what man has betrothed, 781, a wife and has not taken her? 3947 is consummated the marriage. Let him go and return to his house, lest he die in battle and another man takes her. That means go take her virginity. Consummate that marriage. Verse 8, and the officers shall speak further to the people, and they shall say, what man is fearful and weak of heart? Let him go and return to his house. Let his kinsman's heart melt as his heart. In other words, they don't want cowards with them, because they're going to affect the other troops. Oh, there's so many, they're going to kill us all. We got to go running. That just, you know, they're useless in battle. They'll get other people killed. When the shooting starts, they're just going to cower down and won't fight anyway. They're dead weight. Send them home. You know, you don't want to fight. You're that scared. Get out of here. But don't ever speak to me again. When we come back, you are no longer welcome among us. That's the way it needs to be. I mean, if you're not going to stand, then turn and run and go now. Everybody's scared in war. Anybody says they're not scared when the shooting starts, is either insane or the world's biggest liar. Everybody is afraid, and it sharpens your instincts, and it'll make you fight harder if you control your fear. If you let your fear control you, you will be useless. And the useless ones need to go, because they're going to get in the way of the guys that are willing to fight. And that will hold true in the future too. And those useless ones will be punished in front of the throne of judgment, because they have chosen to not fight for Yahweh and for their kinsmen. And they will be cut off from their people. And there are going to be some. There's a lot of guys that talk tough around the campfire. But when it hits the fan, everybody's scared. And if you're not, there's something wrong with you. It makes you cautious. It gives you an edge. You don't let it overwhelm you. And even if you see that you're going to buy the farm, you fight twice as hard and you make it cost them. You don't give them a free ride. You don't lay down. If you're going to take my life, I'm going to take 20 of yours. Verse 9. And it shall be, when have made an end, the officers of speaking to the people, that they shall appoint, 6485, commanders, 8269, of the armies, 6635, that's the hosts, Zebaot, to lead, 7218, the people, to be heads of the people. So, tells you how to fight a war. I mean, it just, you know, that's a book of instruction. What can I say? When you come near to a city to fight against it, proclaim to it peace. Give them a chance to surrender, in other words. And it shall be, if peace in peace they answer you, and it opens to you, and it opens the gates. This is back then when they had gated cities and they were going to take over the Canaanite lands. This is what they were to do to the Canaanites. And it shall be, if peace they answer you, and it opens to you, then it shall be, all the people found in it shall become forced laborers and shall serve you. They were to become slaves. They were not to be killed. They were to become slaves and be put to forced labor. You're going to work for us from now on. This is it. You're slaves. Be a slave or be dead. Verse 12. But if it will not... pardon me. If it will not make peace with you, but will do battle with you, then you shall lay siege upon it. That's 6696. And when gives Yahweh Eloheka the city into your hand, you shall smite all the males, 2138, with the edge of the sword. Kill them all. But the women and the little ones, that's 2945, and the beasts, and all that is in the city, all the spoil of it, you shall plunder for yourself. And you shall eat of the spoil of your hated enemies, which has given Allah, Yahweh Elohech unto you. These women weren't to be taken in as Israelites. They were slave women. And the little ones were to be raised as slaves. You weren't going to marry them. They're Canaanites. They live in their quarters, the slave quarters, and they stay separate from the people of Israel. Hey, you! Wash my windows. Yes, master. Sorry about that. They're beasts of the earth. That's what they are. They're not Israel. They're not equal. Same way we've got legislation to make the beasts of the earth equal today, but they're not equal. They never have been. They weren't created as equal. They're not going to become equal. Verse 15, thus you shall do to all cities very far off from you, which are not of the cities of these nations. Okay. They were to make slaves of the non-Israelites far off. Different category coming up. Verse 16. But of the cities of the cursed seed line people, these that Yahweh Eloheka gives to you for an inheritance, nothing shall live of all that breathes. Now, if it was a city that was far off and was not a Canaanite city, they could take them as slaves or make them forced labor. But the Canaanite cities, verse 17, you shall utterly destroy them. 2763 doubled for emphasis. Namely, the Hitti, the Hittites. You know, the ones that Esau married into Edom, the Emori, the Amorites, the Canaani, the Canaanites, the Perizi, the Perizzites, the Chiwi, the Hivites, and the Yebusi, the Jebusites, as that which commanded to you Yahweh Eloheka. Because these were the Canaanite nations, and the reason being, verse 18, so that they do not teach, 3925, you to do all their abominations, 8441, that they do for Elohechem, that means their divine beings, their little idols, and you sin against, 2398, to miss the mark of responsibility or duty, you sin against Yahweh Elohechem, your divine being, or the capital E. When you lay siege upon a city for a long time and making war upon it to capture it, you shall not destroy, 7843, the, and I added fruit-bearing because that's what it's talking about, the fruit-bearing trees of it by bringing against them an axe, 1631, for you may eat of them. There, thus, the support for the addition in italics of fruit-bearing, okay? And shall not cut them down. Is the tree of the field an Adam to go before you as siege works, 4692? Verse 20. Only the trees which you know are not trees for food you shall destroy by cutting down, and you shall build siege works against a city that does war against you until it is brought down. So what we have here are two different types of cities. You have cities of non-cursed seed line people. They are out away from the center of Canaanite habitation. They have a chance for peace. But they will become servants to Israel and do forced labor. And if they did choose peace, they were going to live. If they did not choose peace, only the men would be killed, but not the women and children. Some of these cities had Adamic people in them, but they were not of the seed line of Israel. Like I've said, all of Israel is of Edom, but not all of Edom is of Israel. Okay, there are Edomites that are not Israelites. That's only a particular seed line within the race of Edom. If these women were Edomic women in these non-cursed seed line cities, they could take them for wives. It was fair game. They were Edomic. They were of the correct race. If they were not Edomic, but were not enemies of Israel, they just submitted because they were going to be overwhelmed, then they would all be forced laborers. And even the women that they did take would have a secondary status. They were Edomic, but not Israelite. They had the genetics, but the children of the Israelite men that they would breed with these Edomic women would be Israelites. They would be, through their father, come under the covenant. But the women would not, because they were not of Israel. Same way, the concubines. They sent the children of the concubines so they wouldn't interfere with the birthright of the firstborn. They didn't have the same status as the primary wife. Different rules back then, different lifestyle entirely. The demographics back then were much, much different. There were far less people than there are today. The population of the planet has burgeoned to an unsustainable mass. You get huge amounts of non-Adamics. The herd is going to be culled, okay? That's pretty harsh, but if they are our enemies, that's their tough luck. I am not a Judeo-Christian. I am not warm and fuzzy, touchy-feely. If they are an enemy of my people, Israel, I got nothing for them. I'm sorry. Oh, but the little children. A little baby rat is cute. It's wiggly and it wiggles around and all. It's cute to watch. But it grows up to be an adult rat. It's a rat. I'm sorry, you know. I didn't make them rats. They're rats. They breed like rats. Rat people. The mud races, especially the ones that have some white blood, that the white race traders bred with these beasts, they are dangerous. They are a danger to us. They are our blood enemies. They hate us, even though we have benefited them and have blessed them and have done many, many good things for them. They hate us. They speak against us constantly. They try to harm us constantly. And the Judeo-Christian churches, oh, Jesus loves everybody. That's another lie. They're adding this in. That's their doctrine that they teach. But the Bible contradicts that. Yeshua called them dogs. says, you may not eat of the food. And, the woman said, oh, we can eat the crumbs from the children's table. And he says, okay, you admit you're a dog, I'll fix your daughter. And that's as far as it went. She didn't come under the covenant. She didn't become an instant Israelite. She wasn't of the genetic bloodline. And genetics are modern science revealed to us by Yahweh, and genetics are the basis for all of this. You are either genetically Israel or you are not. You are born into Israel. You are the only ones that were grafted in were blood Israelites that were living under a foreign culture that were coming back to the worship of Yahweh through the miracles of Yahshua. They recognized who and what he was. They knew who they were. Oh, they were Gentiles. No, they were Israelites in dispersion. The word Gentile isn't in Scripture. That's a churchianity added term. It's nation or nations. No word Gentile. Ever. Anywhere. Don't care what the pastors in these Judeo-Christian churches say. Don't care that it's in the King James Bible. Don't care. It's an inaccuracy. It is a mistranslation. The King James Bible is full of them. It is very inaccurate in many ways. It is nation or nations, as it was in the Old Testament. There are Israelite nations and there are non-Israelite nations, and those are separated by the context of the passages that you are reading, and that which precedes them and that which follows them. There's a tone of the entire chapter that tells you who they're talking about. Paul was not the apostle to the Gentiles. He was the apostle to the nations, which were of Israel in dispersion. That's who he went to. They call them Greeks. They were not Greeks. They were Hellenes. Under the Hellenistic rule of Helen of Troy, that was their lifestyle, and they had a pantheon of false gods. Well, these were Israelites that were realizing they needed to get back to Yahweh worship and were coming back through the teachings of Yahshua Messiah, who was their Redeemer as well, because they were Israel. Their nationality was a different nationality than the Judeans. Same way a Californian is not of the same state as a New Yorker. I live in the United States, but I'm not a citizen here. I am a resident alien, naturally born here, but I am of Israel. I am a citizen of the kingdom of Yahweh. And the kingdom of Yahweh is partially here right now. It's not here in full force. It is assembling as we speak. It's being gathered together, and the changes are coming to revert this planet back to the dominion of Yahweh, with the king of the entire planet being Yahshua Messiah. And the administrators of the law will be Israel. You will rule as El, Mighty Ones, Divine Mighty Ones, because we will be changed. We will not be in these earthly tabernacles that are frail and break down like we are right now. And those of us who have gone before and have died, in other words, sleep in the dust, when that great shofar sounds and Yahshua manifests himself back on this planet as he did when he lived here before and he left in his perfected body, we will be changed in an instant. Now, the people that don't really believe, oh, that's nonsense. How can you do that? No, you can't do that. We can't do that. Our science can't do that. But the divine being Yahweh that created everything and every law of physics and the entire universe and its order of arrangement, he can do that. We cannot speak to a woman and say, you're pregnant through the force of the Holy Spirit, because we don't have it. But he spoke to Miriam, the one they call Mary, and said, you are pregnant. The Holy Spirit made her pregnant. Because nothing is beyond his power. We can't downsize Yahweh to our pathetic perceptions and our pathetic attempts at science. We are speaking of the divine ruler of everything that is so vast that our little minds can't conceive of it. We are not capable of dealing with that reality in our present form. And that is why he does not manifest himself in totality in this realm of existence, because his sheer perfection and power would destroy us. We always think we are more than we are. And we puff ourselves up in our vanity and foolishness, and we want to elevate ourselves to his divine status, and we never will be able to do it. He's Yahweh. We're not. We need to deal with that situation as it is. We are less than Yahweh. We always will be less than Yahweh, and we need to be obedient to our Master and our Father that created us. And that's the bottom line. And that's what I'm trying to get people to realize and do. Come back to the rules that he set out in these books. He tells us how he wants us to live. He tells us of the blessings that we will have if we do it. And he also warns us of the curses that we will get if we don't. It's high time we as a nation of Israel become willing, obedient servants to Yahweh. And I will be back to talk to you tomorrow on October the 12th on Wednesday. May Yahweh bless and keep you. Shalom Aleichem.
Onward, Christian soldiers, marching as to war. With the cross of Jesus going on before. Christ the royal master leads against the foe.